lower to mid-priced items, $25 to $75 product range, a lot of their traffic on Meta is starting to shift to the shops. This year, we're seeing some brands with 50, 60% of their traffic going to the shops. There's a lot of pros and cons potentially out of this. The main pro being performance. Meta's shifting a lot of your traffic to their shop, managing the payments right on Meta. You're hoping that you get better performance out of that. Lower friction, that's the pro, but you're losing, you know, traffic to your website. That could affect your other channels, your retargeting across Google, email, lead gen. Even just your website's authority on the auctions could go down if all of a sudden you had 10,000 visitors per day going to your website in Q4 and now you have 1,000 because the other 9,000 are going to the shop.
How did Spotlight Oral Care get 6 million views and over $30,000 in earned media value on TikTok? How did Plant People drive a 50% decrease in cost per add to cart and over a 30% increase in ROAS? To go big like these brands, you gotta think small and work with mini social micro influencers to create authentic UGC for your brand. Tired of hunting down and DMing creators on social, negotiating back and forth, only to have their one-off post flop and not impact your sales? Leave it to MiniSocial to handle all the nitty-gritty of booking the right creators for your brand, delivering top-quality content you can use across your ads and organic social media. Ready to try them out for yourself? Get 15% off your first project when you start in Q2. To claim your D2C listener discount, just go to dtc.minisocial.com. It's all killer, no filler. I'm Eric, and I'm here with Pilot House's Meta Ads Brain Trust, Taylor Kane and Jacob. Welcome back to the program here today, guys. I think let's start by a bit of an overview. I think there's a lot of sentiment in the market right now about how sort of inconsistent, how unstable the Meta ads algorithm is, unreliable. What are we seeing high level in Q1 for Meta ads and Meta ads performance?
We've definitely seen, like, it's been an interesting year. There have been a few notable moments, I'd say, during the year. You know, there was that incident kind of around Valentine's Day where there was a pretty widespread issue that seemed to affect cost caps similar in March. And then even this last week, you know, hearing some news about some potential instability again in some shifts. But yeah, it's been a bit of an interesting period. I think, you know, as we all know, we're seeing all those new features come in, like Meta AI dropping really recently in the search function within the app. There's lots happening. It's really interesting. I know I recognize as well, it's been a challenging year for advertisers in many ways, but there still have been some bright spots as well, and the opportunity is still there. I think it's important to emphasize that too.
Yeah, seeing quite a few shifts on, like, traffic, you know, just shifting to different platforms, different placements, you know, not even just Meta specifically, but TikTok, like Instagram, you know, X, even, like, all these kind of algorithmic shifts that are stemming from a lot of these new tools, like Taylor said. Yeah, like the search, you know, AI function that just launched literally now. If you're searching the same things you used to a week ago, you're going to get different results. So, you know, advertisers definitely need to be aware of that. And it's not like you can just kind of set it and forget it like you could a few years back. You know, hopefully we can get to a point like that again, but it's interesting. And, you know, one thing we'll touch on, I think, in this is some of the shifts we're seeing to, like, shops and things like that. So yeah, we can get into some of the weeds, but at a broad sense, very kind of unstable and not necessarily all bad, but just shows there's movement coming for reasons, right?
And when you say unstable, so there's, first of all, yeah, the issues that Taylor mentioned, like the full outages, the Valentine's Day massacre. And then there's also just unreliability in terms of, like, one day you'll be at a certain ROAS or a certain CPA, and then and it's sort of fluctuating wildly day to day. Is that something that we're seeing in terms of instability, just like costs going way up or coming down? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I think it's important to note that, especially if you're working on a disruptive platform like Meta paid social, that can be expected to some extent. To your point, Eric, generally speaking, noticing a little bit more, like, drastic shifts from time to time within campaigns that are, for example, out of learning and, like, you know, might be a top performer for a long period of time. Just some kind of nuances around that type of thing that looks a little bit more sharp than what we've seen in past seasons, to kind of break that down.
But when you average it out over time, is it easy to say, I guess accounts change and things change over time, but are we saying like this quarter last year, how are we seeing performance Q1 2024 versus Q1 2023?
Yeah, like looking at a year to date through it, I mean, generally speaking, on average, even with all of this, we're seeing growth in investment on Meta across our client base. So a bigger appetite for spending, and generally speaking, from a performance standpoint, pretty comparable in a lot of ways. So I think that's exactly kind of it. There's a lot happening within all of this. The opportunity is still there. It affects different brands differently. We're still generally speaking on a positive trend overall.
Very cool. And I want to get into shops, but just first on Meta AI, this was rolled out across the entire Meta ecosystem. There aren't Meta AI tools in the ads dashboard at this point, are there? We're just talking about the way Meta AI impacts the consumer rather than us as advertisers.
There's a couple. They're not kind of all in, we're not able to deploy ads across MetaQuest or whatever, yeah, things like that. But there are enhanced features being released that use some AI features, overlays that'll maybe, you don't really have control over them. It's just letting Meta basically overlay certain words, related graphics, CTAs, and they're using AI within that to read the creative, read the messaging, read your link, which it definitely is pretty cool. And again, it kind of comes back to some accounts it's crushing it for, some accounts it's ruining their brand image without them even knowing it. So you definitely have to kind of keep a pulse on that again. And there's a lot of opportunity coming out of that. But yeah, Taylor, I don't know if you have anything to add.
Yeah, you covered it well. I mean, we're still seeing more and more constantly get deployed, even the engaged audience feature to segment against the existing customer audience definition for Advantage Plus shopping campaigns. That just started rolling out within the last few weeks. There's quite a bit coming through that way.
Okay, and we mentioned changes in the way people are directing their traffic to things like Meta Shops and TikTok Shops. Talk about why where that strategy comes in and kind of who it's working best for.
Yeah, I can chime in on that. At a very high level, what we're seeing is those lower to mid-priced items, kind of $25 to $75 product range. A lot of their traffic on Meta is starting to shift to the shops. And this is through campaigns that are, essentially optimizing towards website or shops, whatever are going to give us the best results. And what we've noticed in the past few months is a higher shift to the shops. And, there's a lot of pros and cons potentially out of this. The main pro potentially being performance. If Meta's shifting a lot of your traffic to their shop and managing the payments right on Meta, you're hoping that you get better performance out of that because
better conversion rates, lower friction.
It's less steps. Ideally that's the pro, but the cons could potentially be you're losing, traffic to your website. Meta's actually keeping these people on Meta, which of course Meta wants. That could, affect your other channels, your retargeting across Google, email lead gen, even just your website's authority on the auctions could go down if all of a sudden, you had 10,000 visitors per day going to your website in Q4, and now you have 1,000 because the other 9,000 are going to the shop. So something to be considerate of, and definitely look at your ratios. And like I said, it was maybe within those lower priced brands, $300, $400 products, we're not seeing as much success through shops because it's just a longer sales, funnel. There's more learning to be done. People maybe don't trust for the big transactions yet, but it was 5%, of traffic last year. And this year we're seeing some brands with 50, 60% of their traffic going to the shops. So.
And that's wild. Are those on Advantage Plus campaigns where you're basically saying you're giving it a bunch of options and saying send wherever you think is best? Or
yeah, mainly the Advantage Plus campaigns. Even just standard campaigns, though, now you can choose to go to website or shop. And we have split tested a few of them versus website only campaigns, and For the brands where the shop is working well, like it does seem to be outperforming a lot of the website funnels. And it's not the case for every brand. Like a lot of them, the shop sucks for whatever reason. You do get less control too, right? Like there's not really a way to like edit it for upsells. Like there's, you know, some stuff built in, but a lot of it is controlled by Meta. So the CRO becomes a bit of an issue potentially on that side.
Yeah, you got to balance it because you know they want to keep the customer on their side. We know that's their vision. So you got to always, you kind of almost got to audit their performance. They do want to generate more sales for sure. You were mentioning that it looks like the TikTok shops maybe are the Meta shops are generating slightly lower AOVs because you can't do all the custom bundling, but maybe they're overcoming it with getting that purchase across the line because of low friction.
Yeah, higher conversion rates on lower priced products, but lower AOVs from what we've seen, at least, you know, versus a standard Shopify site that usually has pretty good upsell functionality like built into it. So Meta's trying to improve that as well, which is also interesting because, like, you know, you want to keep your eggs in the basket a little bit. And as Meta's releasing these updates, you might find the shop all of a sudden is crushing for you one day. It's got, you know, the integration with Shopify. So there's not actually that transaction fee they used to have. Unless you're not on Shopify. But yeah, it's not just a Meta thing. It is like TikTok is seeing similar trends. And I've even heard TikTok offering out large, you know, credits to specific brands to like force them to go to their shop almost. So it's an interesting trend and kind of alludes back to the start of the combo with just that instability and everything.
Anything to add on the shop side of thing, Taylor?
Jacob covered it really, really well. Yeah, I think just looking at it from the perspective of all of our full service accounts as well. I mean, we're seeing pretty major growth year over year when it comes to just the adopt-in rate. Like we've got multiple brands kind of sitting around 5 to 20% of their add to carts total for the account coming through shops this year, when last year that was much lower, like really just a small fraction. So starting to see some interesting trends emerge. Conversion rate has on average increased year over year by some distance for our brands within the shops. So I think all of this is really great to consider.
Before we jump on to TikTok, have we noticed there was the big news this past week with Meta Ads was the amount that like Temu was spending on like low quality, spammy, weird products reaching everybody out there. When something big like that comes through, is it something we notice in the cost of ads or anything?
Yeah. I mean, I like it definitely does affect CPMs and everything. And it's like hard to keep a pulse on all those like massive trends, but you know, it was definitely related to some spikes we saw. I think I saw a graph where it was just like massive the amount they put in. 10% of all Meta advertising or something like was Temu ads for a week or something. I got served a bunch on my feed too. I don't know if you guys did, but it definitely like can affect the algorithm. It's not, you know, going to go in and just like flip all your campaigns upside down, but it can, you know, see spikes. And I'm sure if we looked at the actual, you know, across all our clients, the average, it probably did go up a little bit once they unloaded all that cash in there.
They're not a Chinese company, are they? I think it's speaking about TikTok, even before we get into TikTok, I just feel like these big spend spikes, we're destined for a bunch more this year, whether it's the election, where there's going to be a big ramp up of spend happening there. There's the Summer Olympics, which I just saw. There's a big forecast for lots of money to be spent kind of in that. So it's something to kind of continue to monitor, but it doesn't really change your strategy, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, some stuff can, like, there's definitely advantages to, Summer Olympics being like a good example, or if you have a brand and you might want to riff a bit on what's at hand and what's relevant, especially with Meta trying to push what's, you know, trending to certain people. It's good to keep a pulse on those large events because you know that other competitors are going to be doing the same thing as well. So I guess that's kind of a point on that for sure.
To that point too, I think this year, even more so than others, like, you know, we see it feels wild to be talking about Q4 in April, but it's definitely worth starting to think about like what you want to have ready for Q4. You know, like, do you want to have a certain group of winning ads from like in a bucket that maybe run at a lower CPC, higher CTR? convert relative to that, but like could give you an auction advantage when CPMs rise and different things like that. Like we're starting to think, I think about how you're building up your portfolio of ads for some of the biggest moments of the year are really important in a year like this.
I was just talking with a big apparel brand that's going to come out on the podcast soon. And they were talking about how they're definitely already thinking about filling their funnel with new eyeballs, essentially for Q4 specifically. They're sort of thinking about, you know, maximizing the amount of people they'll be able to reach during those times, like well ahead of time, which I think is a really smart way to think about it. We were talking about with everything being, unstable on the Facebook side, there's a lot of instability. What are some of the things, and it's also with all of these new things that are changing with the way, with the way AI is impacting the way people use Facebook, with the Meta shops versus sending to your store. What are some of the things that we're doing to kind of like increase efficiency in campaigns or drill in on efficiency amidst unstable times?
Yeah, I think it all starts at the omnichannel level, honestly, like looking at your marketing calendar and aligning how you're flexing your spend on platform in accordance. It's been really interesting this year. Like I've been seeing a lot of success case by case with different, more like old school feeling efforts, like day parting campaigns using like a lifetime budget and running on the top hours of the day, like, you know, the higher shopping hours in alignment with typically when performance is strongest for in a brand specific scenario. Flexing spend on weekends when shopping intent might be higher, basically building out like roadmaps that then spill all the way down into the actionables that our media buyers or advertising teams are working on a regular basis to align to it. But it's really interesting. I'd also highly encourage people to keep close eyes on all the different breakdowns you can look at, like, you know, your classic stuff, like your attribution settings, what patterns are you noticing there? But also a lot of the different drill downs, like demographic breakdowns and platform breakdowns, and using that to help inform your monthly strategy, your quarterly strategy, how you're deploying creative preparation, like everything. So that's been incredibly valuable, I think, for a lot of the brands that we're seeing positive momentum with, even through navigating all of this. Sometimes you just need a good old account. Sometimes you look at the account as a buyer and you're like, I think I need to rebuild this or this, and that might swing momentum back in our favor. But when it's a game of momentum and you're looking through that lens, I think, and trying to troubleshoot it, it's helpful.
Nice. Talking about uncertain ground today, I think the U.S. president signed the TikTok ban that was approved by the Senate and the House, which I'm really surprised that history's kind of on the move to this level. So it gives them, I guess, 90 days to start making meaningful efforts to divest the company of its ownership, which I think is going to be extremely fraught and interesting here. So we're talking about all the different ways that on Meta traffic was going to become more scarce. But if TikTok disappears, traffic on Meta and Reels and Shorts is going to become a lot more plentiful because the people that are spending 4 hours a day on TikTok are going to need to scroll somewhere else.
Yeah, it's really interesting to think about. I think like as far as like what the timelines around how all of this shapes up is going to be really interesting. Like, do we see an impact? Does it take a while for any sort of impact to happen? How does this affect, you know, the week to week on Meta as different news events are breaking? It'll be really interesting to see how it unfolds. But I think, again, it's an even stronger point towards the value in taking that step back and giving a hard look to your entire strategy on each channel throughout this and how they all work together.
Jacob, what are your thoughts on potentially losing TikTok?
Yeah, I mean, it'll just be interesting how the current big players adjust their platform to basically feel more like TikTok, because all those people need somewhere to run. like you said, either they're going to run to something that already exists or something new will pop up. I mean, this whole TikTok argument has been in the works, I feel like, for the past, you know, 3-4 years. Like, there's been a few different bills brought up and things like this. So it's hard to go all in on.
And Trump started it. Like, Trump was like the driving force behind it originally, which is interesting. And it's interesting that it has such bipartisan support, which always makes me wonder what intel they're seeing that makes everyone so. But it was also kind of crazy how they snuck it into that other like defense spending bill. It all just seems so interesting these days. I also saw that Biden announced that he's going to keep campaigning on TikTok, So it's like you're gonna ban TikTok, but you're gonna keep campaigning on TikTok while you do it. It's sort of like you want your cake and eat it too. That's my take. Yeah, I don't know.
It's crazy.
Just don't take my TikTok. Big fan of the TikTok. We generally stay out of politics here on this podcast, so maybe we'll just leave that there. Excited for this year. Excited for Meta. I know that we're continuing. I know we just, when you have a team full of like extremely talented individuals, you're just constantly looking for ways to improve and to create efficiencies. And I think that's what it takes. It's like, as a performance marketing company, we've never had a set it and forget it attitude, or we wouldn't be in business kind of thing. So I feel like out there, just make sure that you have a really proactive approach on your marketing team or the agency you're working with. That's would be what I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. 100% agreed.
Nice. Cool, guys. Well, thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having us, Eric.
Yeah. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you're not getting the D2C newsletter, you can subscribe for free at directtoconsumer.co. And if you want to learn more about Pilot House's all killer, no filler services, take off to pilothouse.co. I'm Eric Dick, and this has been the D2C podcast. We'll see you next time.